Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tony Katz Tonight.
I am not even sure how I explain to you all what was said to be able to put into context who said it. It's a very, very confusing moment for me here at Tony Katz Tonight because I'm not quite sure how to explain it. Let me take you back to yesterday. I got called. We're having a debate, Ashley and I. Ashley, of course, in every Friday, as to whether or not I can say it. Now, I think I can because it's not a four-letter word. It's not on the list of dirty words. But it's certainly not the normal way I talk. And I, in many ways, push the envelope. But I don't ever, Ashley, get close to the stuff. But let me at least put it into context. I had a conversation yesterday with Cam Edwards of NRA News. We were talking about the Fort Hood shooting. And of course, the people who come out of the woodwork after any kind of incident with a gun, the anti-gun crowd, the anti-Second Amendment crowd, the crowd that says there's no need for a gun in America. The crowd like Piers Morgan that says this was a good guy before he got a gun and the gun made him a bad guy. Those are his words, not mine, ladies and gentlemen. And we were discussing, part of the conversation was discussing Shannon Watts, who runs a group called Moms Demand Action. This group is supposedly about keeping children safe. They came to be after Sandy Hook and the shooting there. But it seems more and more that it's about being anti-gun. And we specifically referenced a press release that went out. And Cam Edwards made sure to point out that the press release was written as if it had went out that evening, even though it went out the next day. And it says clearly that even though we don't know what happened, we want to talk to you about guns in America. And their view on guns in America is that they're opposed to guns in America. I'm opposed to people who shouldn't have guns having guns in America. I am opposed to unlawful gun ownership. I am not opposed to lawful gun ownership. I am not opposed to the Second Amendment. I am pro-Second Amendment. I make that clear. So we had this conversation, and I proceeded to discuss in the following segment that I invite Shannon Watts onto this program because I believe that you don't get anywhere by not having a conversation. You only get somewhere by putting out the multiple sides that can exist in an issue and letting people decide for themselves. And certainly, I do believe that if when people listen to the conversation, they may say that we have to do something about the mentally ill in the United States. They may say there may be a conversation about what the background check actually checks. But it cannot be said. The statistics will bear me out and will prove me right that it is the gun and the lawful gun owner that is the problem. I said I would have this conversation with Shannon Watts, and I invite her on the program. And the reason I do so is that she is in Indianapolis. My show is broadcast on the mighty WIBC. Welcome in the studio. You don't want it to be me? I said clearly I have absolutely no ego. Would you like to speak to Cam Edwards? I'll arrange it with Cam Edwards. Would you like to speak with a Dana Lash or a Katie Pavlich? I'll arrange that. Would you like to speak to Greg Garrison? If everybody else is too, maybe in your view, extreme, how about the voice of Indiana for the past 17 years? I will arrange it. Do you not want to do it on a radio station? Do you not want to do it in studio? Would you like to do it in a venue where there are people and an audience? I will arrange it at my cost. I said this clearly yesterday. I say it again today. Name. We can find a venue. We can find a date. I will set it up. Do you want it to be live streaming so the world can watch? I will set it up at my cost. This is me saying it now. I didn't say it yesterday. We can charge a nominal fee and it can go to a local food bank. Anything you want to do in order to engage the conversation. People have been tweeting about it. And one of the people from our chat room tweeted about it, talked about it, Jay Bren. And I've even had some disagreement with some people in the chat room because I am not angry. I want to have the conversation. I am requesting it. I'm asking. Let's have a conversation about the Second Amendment. Let's hear what you have to say and let the world hear what I have to say and let them make a decision. The Lincoln-Douglas debates, all right, we won't be that good, but we can try. We can try and get there. And so one of the people in the chat room, Jay Bren, at Jay Bren, B-R-E-N-N on Twitter, Tony Katz would love to talk firearms and gun control with Shannon Watts. Will she call in? Now, he said, of course she won't. And I don't know that, and I don't want that. And I don't engage it in that way. I do want you to call in. As a matter of fact, I want it to be a little more formal than that. Let me invite you in. Let me invite you into the studio. Someone responded to Jay Bren on Twitter. And this is where the language comes in. Why would she lower herself to a blank like Katz? And the word that he used starts with a D. And it's a feminine hygiene product. I think that's the best I can do, Ashley.
That sounds right to me.
I'm respecting the station. It's not that I'm unwilling. I'm respecting the station. Right. Why would she lower herself to a feminine hygiene product that starts with D like Katz? And Shannon Watts retweeted it. So she is either in favor of name calling somebody who wants to have the conversation, or someone hacked her Twitter account. We're going to talk more about this when we return. This is Tony Katz Tonight.
If you need reliable, high-quality video production, look no further than PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com provides promotional videos, training videos, and conference and event coverage nationwide. Get a high-quality, consistent look to your corporate videos with the most reliable video company in the country. Visit PrimeImageMedia.com today to learn more. Mention Tony Katz and get 10% off your first production. That's PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com.
You have a sense of humor, Ashley. Now, you gotta understand that I am not mad. I, Tony Katz of Tony Katz Tonight, am not mad at Shannon Watts. You would find that peculiar. After all, she retweets somebody who's calling me a feminine hygiene product that starts with a D. By the way, I feel so silly saying it that way. It's just, it's not how I talk anyway. But I don't see anything wrong with it, especially in our time frame. Like, if this was a morning show, I wouldn't do it. Right? But this is Tony Katz Tonight. So I out of respect for the station.
It's me. It's my fault, Indianapolis.
No. out of respect. So why would anybody retweet that? All I want is a conversation about gun rights in America. That's what I want. And I want it so much. I find it so important for Indianapolis, for Indiana, for the nation, that I'm saying it doesn't have to be me. Let's pick somebody else. I have zero ego in the game. Certainly no one likes to be called names, but I've been called some names before, and I have learned the hard way how to deal with that. But does it make sense? I bring it up for two reasons. That Shannon Watts of Moms Demand Action would retweet somebody calling me a feminine hygiene product that starts with a D. I bring it up for two reasons. First, I'm a curious man. And there are people who support Shannon Watts, fans of Shannon Watts, followers of Shannon Watts, maybe even say to themselves, well, I may disagree with her policies. At least she believes something. She's working it. I don't deny that. But I want to know how many of her fans and her followers, how many believers in her cause, also believe that I should be called names for wanting to have a conversation about gun rights in America. How many people know that Shannon Watts would retweet something like this? Therefore, giving it, you know, credibility. Very often people say retweet doesn't equal endorsement. Somebody is calling me a specific name and you retweet it. That is what it is. There is no other way around it. And how many fans and followers of Moms Demand Action or Mayors Against Illegal Guns? As a matter of fact, what does Mayors Against Illegal Guns think of this? I think his name is Mark C. Burke. Someone can double check. I believe his name is Mark C. Burke is his name. He is the executive director of Mayors Against Illegal Guns, which is partnered up with Moms Demand Action. I tweeted them, what do you think of this? What are your thoughts on this? How do you feel about somebody you're partnered with? Mark C. Glaze, I'm sorry, Mark with a K, the letter C, and then Glaze, G-L-A-Z as in zebra E, at Mark C. Glaze. What is your response? I have heard nothing yet. How do you feel about one of your strategic key allies, your key partner, calling somebody a feminine hygiene product that starts with a D, when all that man did was say, let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about gun rights in America. Pick where you want to have it. I don't know what else I can do. Pick where you want to have it and pick who you want to have it with. Let the people hear this conversation about great ideas. Who can I get you? If it's not me, then who? I mean, I want it to be me. I want to have the conversation. But if it's not me, then who? And I will find them. I will make it work. I will move heaven and earth to make it work. But do her followers know that she's calling people these names? Do her fans know she's calling people these names? What do they think of name calling? If you're a fan, a follower, or a devotee of Shannon Watts, and you also believe in the Ban Bossy campaign, what is it that you think when she calls people names who just want to have a conversation? I think this is something that people should know. And while they know it, you know what? I'll hold that thought for a second. Let me go to the phones really quick. Scott, on line one, welcome to Tony Katz tonight. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Tony. Good to talk to you again. I hope I can hear you better than you can hear me rather better than I can hear you. I must have a bad line. It happens, my friend,
but I hear you fine, so go ahead.
Apparently, when you pick me up, I can hear you much better. Yeah, but, about Shannon Watts and her, I mean, as we all know, her little organization is a mouthpiece for their puppet of Mayor Bloomberg and his anti-gun group. And that came out recently. If you've been, I don't know if you get the Indianapolis paper, but she apparently testified in the Indiana House about her little group and all that. And I was rather amused and a little bit irritated by a column written by Leslie Weidenbender saying that she was treated meanly because the people in the House actually ask her questions rather than just letting her statements fall as gospel and all that, including the guy who brought the legislation, Jim Lucas, which would allow...
Right, the legislation in question was about people being able to have a gun in their locked trunk on a school campus.
Exactly. And the anti-gunners have claimed that that allows you to carry guns on school property. I'm going, well, that's just a flat-out 100% lie, number one. And number two, I mean, Shannon Watts, she wouldn't know the difference between an AR-15 and a Remington Model 700. She wouldn't know what was which and what...
And that may be true. Now, wait, hold on, Scott. Hold on. Yeah. That may be true. That may be true that she might not know the difference. I do not know that.
Yeah.
And I do not know why... I do not know, Scott, and I appreciate the call. I do not know why she allowed herself to engage name-calling. Why she would retweet somebody who would call me a feminine hygiene product that starts with a D. But I want to say clearly for the record to Shannon Watts, I forgive you. It's no joke. I forgive you. We've all done things in the heat of the moment that we don't necessarily mean or believe. It happens. It's part of what makes us human. I want to have this conversation with you, ma'am. I want to talk to you about gun rights in America. I want people to hear the conversation. I want them to share in the conversation. It is important. We cannot be the society that speaks less. We have to be the society that speaks more, that doesn't speak at each other, but talks to each other. If we don't, we fail. And I don't believe that you believe we can afford to fail. I don't believe we can afford to fail. I forgive you, Shannon Watts. I'm asking you to come on this program. I'm asking you to talk to me about gun rights. This is Tony Katz Tonight.
.com today to learn more. Mention Tony Katz and get 10% off your first production. That's primeimagemedia.com. Primeimagemedia.com.
We have the greatest audience in the world. Ashley was relaying to me that people are calling in. So what did she call Tony? And they're guessing. They're playing the guessing game with Ashley of what Shannon Watts called me via retweet. 317-239-9393 if you want to call Ashley and ask her.
Just got to say thank you, Judy, for calling. You made my night. So thank you. And I think you may have made Tony's as well. I did have to explain why we couldn't put you on the air.
I wanted to talk to you. Don't get me wrong. Oh, it's just terrific.
My night was made, so thank you very much.
Fantastic audience. By the way, next week I am in town. AFPIndiana.org is where you want to go. There is a bus heading up to Michigan, of all places, for a tax day rally on the 12th. You can get on the bus. We're going to head up to Michigan. We're going to have a conversation about taxation in America. We're going to head back same day. If we fill the bus, I'll ride the bus with you. I am one of the speakers at the event there in Michigan. If we fill the bus, I'm riding the bus with you. And you know I'm going to have cigars. You know, you should bring your own as well. They'll be sharing, not smoking on the bus. We'll wait till we're off the bus. But people will be like, oh, they're the ones from Indiana. They have the cigars. They'll know. That's how we'll be able to identify ourselves. You can go to AFPIndiana.org. Yeah, that's the website. I got that right. AFPIndiana.org. You go there and you can get all the information about how to get on the bus, how to register. I don't think it costs anything. I think it's free. I don't think it costs a dime to do, which is pretty sweet. We're going to leave at like 7 a.m. Yeah, no, it's free. It's totally free. You can meet up in Indy or in Fort Wayne, depending on where you are. It is free. You just got to register. And it's going to leave at 7 a.m. from Meijer on 96th. And then it'll stop at the Hobby Lobby in Fort Wayne at 9, and we'll get there about 11 or so. We'll do this thing. We'll have ourselves a good time. Hilarity will ensue. We'll get back home. And then steaks. Because why not? AFP Indiana is where you want to go to. That is the website, AFPIndiana.org. And also, just to just to be clear about something, I have yet to hear from Shannon Watts. I am going to be sending a request via the website, through other avenues that were put forth from press releases and what have you, to request an interview, and I hope we can put it together. I really and truly do. But while we're talking about, I need to move off that, because I mean I could spend 4 hours on the importance of it, but this story made me laugh, and I'd like to laugh right now. Thank you very much. Hillary Clinton having a conversation about partisanship and saying at an event, what was it? It was called the Women in the World Summit. Ashley, were you invited?
No, and I'm hurt because I am a woman and I am in the world. So
you would think that you qualify just on that alone.
Just on chromosomes alone.
Hillary Rodham Clinton said, is she back to Hillary Rodham? She's no longer just Hillary Clinton. She's no longer Secretary of State Clinton. She's Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I don't know how that works. I've never understood how that works. Like, my mom doesn't include her maiden name and everything, pretty much.
No. Some people do. I'm not objecting to the fact that people
not
do.
At all.
It's just, it changes all the time, and I cannot keep up.
Right. It's like how we don't know what to call Puff Daddy or P. Diddy or Puffy or whatever he goes by now. It's like that. Right?
We call him just Rich. I mean, I didn't realize how much money that guy has. He's got $300 or $400 million.
I'm going to have to Google this now because I want to know how much money he makes.
He has a lot of money. I mean, the guy started his own network, Revolt, which is, I think, an awful name for a network because it's revolting. You know, it's just a bad idea.
Okay.
Bad idea.
Okay.
But let me continue on my story here, Ashley, just for a moment.
Yes, please do continue.
You can get to how much P. Diddy makes in a little bit. She said Thursday night that excessive partisanship flowing through the nation's political system is causing the U.S. to march backwards instead of forwards, and pointed to fall elections as a sign of how the country might tackle the problems. The former Secretary of State reflected on her time at the State Department, the U.S. relationship with Russia, and the advice she gives to young women during her appearance at the annual Women in the World Summit. When the moderator asked her to address the nation's future, she cited the need to, quote, get back to evidence-based decision-making. When I read that, I said, ooh, I am hugely in favor of evidence-based decision-making. I think that's actually something that I'd like to see more of. Not a decision-making of, well, it sounds nice. Not a decision-making of, it's our best intention. Not a decision-making of, well, it sounded really good in the university faculty lounge. No. Evidence-based, I think, makes a lot of sense. I like it. But then she started talking. She said, there is just pure ideology, pure partisanship. We disguise a commercial interest behind a political facade, and the result is that we're marching backwards instead of forward. She said the U.S. needs to address economic hardships facing many young people to produce a, quote, inclusive prosperity. And that's when I said, nobody says the words inclusive prosperity if they're actually engaging evidence-based decision-making. In one paragraph, Hillary Clinton exposes herself as somebody who doesn't know what she's saying. If we are the society that actually needs to engage evidence-based decision-making, let's do that. Let us do that. Evidence-based decision-making says teaching children to be resilient is better than coddling children. Helicopter parenting has shown us that there are kids in their 30s who are unable to deal with college and doing their laundry. Oh, no, by the way, they're still in college when they're in their 30s. That in their late 20s, they need to take their parents with them on job interviews. That we teach young girls right now that if somebody calls you bossy, you don't have to be resilient and not accept their name calling. You have to point them out so they can be punished. And as a matter of fact, we will take the word away from them. We do not teach resilience in any way, shape, or form. We give everybody who participates a ribbon. We play softball and football and baseball and soccer, but we don't keep score. Evidence-based decision-making cannot happen if you do not keep score. evidence-based decision-making cannot happen if the person who works harder isn't allowed to succeed more because we have to have inclusive prosperity. You can't have those two things at the same time. Holy crap, she wants to be the leader of the free world. That's crazy talk. But let us dig in a little deeper on evidence-based decision-making. She was asked, this from our good friend Joe Schaffstall, their Cap City project. She was asked, when you look at your time at Secretary of State, what are you most proud of and what do you feel was unfinished and maybe have another crack at one day? Now, I have said many times that there is not a single achievement that you can point to regarding Hillary Clinton from her time as a senator or as Secretary of State. And she says, well, I really see that was good. That's why he wins prizes, talking about the moderator. Look, I really see my role as secretary, in fact, leadership in general in a democracy, as a relay race. When you run the best race you can run. You hand off the baton. Some of what hasn't been finished may go on to be finished. So when President Obama asked me to be Secretary of State, I agreed. And if you can translate that into an accomplishment of Hillary Clinton's, I will give you Ashley's phone number to take her out on a date. That's a true story. This is Tony Katz Tonight. Let me go to David there on line three. We're talking about Hillary Clinton. Her total lack of accomplishments. And then this whole idea about she wants to be in favor of evidence-based decision-making and also believes in the idea of, inclusive prosperity. Welcome to the program, David. Welcome to Tony Katz Tonight. What's happening?
I was just going to say that the thought occurred to me that evidence-based decision-making is what goes on in a court of law. If anything, people make decisions in life based on their desires. In fact, what came to mind was her famous comment about the evidence from the Benghazi disaster. What difference does it make? And as far as this inclusive prosperity, I don't believe in spreading the wealth. I believe in spreading the work.
Well, I will say this. First of all, I think that's an interesting way of parsing the words. But I think the spirit of what I'm getting to is a little more important there. But even if I were to take you and go just dig a little bit deeper, which I think is fine, and I appreciate you doing it. Evidence-based decision-making is what brought us the iPhone. Evidence-based decision-making is what brought us the computer. Evidence-based decision-making, at least as I am discussing it, and I'm not arguing with you about the trial part, it's that you take a look around you and you say to yourself, there is a market for X, Y, and Z. The evidence points in that direction. I can exploit that market. What you can't do with evidence-based decision-making is really engage green tech. You can't engage wind. You can't engage solar. You can't engage things like Solyndra. Nothing about evidence-based decision-making could bring you to $535 million being given to Solyndra in a green energy boondoggle where the American people get placed behind certain specific investors in getting paid back.
Exactly.
Right? So that is my point. But the idea that people make decisions based on desires in life, not evidence, that would be hard to disagree with. I think that's a wonderful point. But that is true for some, but some of those desires are based on what others have already filled the gaps with. Desired-based decisions are, do I want healthcare or do I want season tickets for the Colts? Right? But that's totally what it is. And it never made any sense to me that the guy who doesn't want healthcare but wants to be, 50-yard line at Lucas Oil, all right. I just really hope that luck doesn't throw one right in your face, because I don't know what you're going to do at that moment.
Well, I think people live moment to moment. And people, unless they're in deep distress as far as their health, they'd much rather sit at the 50-yard line at a Colts game.
I don't say that they don't. But the idea that evidence-based decision-making from Hillary Clinton, her words, could then lead to the concept of inclusive prosperity doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
There is no way to what's the expression? Circle that square to make that jive? I have no idea. It doesn't make no freaking sense.
There, that's the best way to put it. It makes no sense.
That was the point. But I really do appreciate the phone call, man. And it's a point taken. It is a point taken. You know, but I don't mind describing or better explaining what it is that I'm referring to. I appreciate the phone call. It's not okay. It's just not okay to let these things go by the wayside from Hillary Clinton. By the way, she continued in the conversation, and I think the moderator of this is Thomas Friedman. I think it is. She says, we had the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. We had two wars. We had continuing threats from all kinds of corners around the world that we had to deal with. So it was a perilous time, frankly. What he said to me was, look, I have to be dealing with the economic crisis. I want you to go out and represent us around the world. And it was a good division of labor because we needed to make it clear to the rest of the world that we were going to get our house in order. We were going to stimulate and grow and get back to positive growth and work with our friends and partners. So this is how Hillary Clinton answers the question of, what do you think of your time as Secretary of State? The economic crisis has not been dealt with. You have an incredibly low labor participation rate. Yes, you have an unemployment rate that is now sticking solid at 6.7%, I believe it is, came out today. However, that doesn't engage all the people who have stopped looking, and that's why the number is artificially low. If we want to talk about economic crisis, you still don't have the mass amount of hiring, although there is some evidence to make some believe that it isn't going as strong to part-time economy as some would like to believe. If you want to discuss getting our house in order, where exactly is our house in order? Is our house in order domestically regarding the IRS attacking citizens for their political beliefs? Or is our house in order in a foreign policy conversation regarding Syria and Libya and Russia? Where exactly is our house in order? And Egypt? Oh, I forgot Egypt. Where exactly is our house in order? Where exactly is our house in order? What exactly does she refer to? And getting back to positive growth and work with our friends and partners, to whom is she speaking about? Of whom is she speaking about? I don't know which way to say that. To whom? To whom is she speaking? Or of whom is she speaking about? Someone, can I get someone a little bit better in grammar to let me know? I'd appreciate that. Because I'm pretty sure when we took away the missile shield from Poland and said, you know what, changed our mind, they don't think we're too much of a friend. Every time John Kerry tries to force the Israelis into a peace plan that isn't about peace, I don't think they're too much of a friend. When the Dalai Lama has to enter the White House through the White House trash, I don't think he thinks we're much of a friend. When Crimea can be forced to engage a vote via the barrel of a gun to say they want to go back to Russia, exactly what friend are we talking about? When the Iranian people were engaged in the Green Revolution and simply wanted to be free, where was the friend of the United States to say, we're never going to send a troop, but we believe in the rights of all people to be free, and if there are people out there fighting, you should know that if you're successful, you've got a friend in the United States of America. And we can't wait to shake your hand. What friends? What partners? What are you talking about? But she says this and people are going to say, oh, yeah, smartest woman ever. Nobody better. Nobody more qualified. Nobody more prepared. Oh, smartest woman ever. Stop it. Stop it. No, she's not. She is not qualified. And there are far smarter women on the left and the right. Please go find one of them. Please, I'm begging you. I don't say that the Democrats can't nominate a woman. Just don't nominate this one. Don't vote for somebody you clearly know isn't good enough. Don't do it. Do better by yourself, by your family, and by your nation. Do better. She's not qualified. Seriously, I should get that Monty Python clip. You're not qualified. Good gosh. My thanks to all of you. My offer to Shannon Watts still stands. Follow me on Twitter at Tony Katz, TonyKatz. It's Friday, so it's only 1 hour today. That changes pretty soon. I'm looking forward to it. Get all the podcasts and all the latest at TonyKatz.com. Get on the bus, AFPIndiana.org. Catch you Monday. Take care.